With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply.
Sequester, of all the podcasts, this one here is the best, sir. If you don't listen, you're the real L.O.S. Now 2-1, the battle match. Can't wait to see whose wig will branch snap.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to our Sequester exit interview with the winner of season 4.
Yeah!
Billy, how are you?
Fantastic. I'm living my best life. I woke up this morning, so I'm super happy.
Yes. How hard was it like keeping it under wraps as everyone was watching the whole time?
Oh my God. So like I was telling Audrey and I was telling like other cast members that like I would make sure that I'm like purposely not tweeting anything a little, like I would have to make sure my tweet was so simple and sweet. I was afraid that any small thing was going to take people off and make them think that I possibly won. So it was so hard. Even trying to keep it away from like my family and my brothers.
Yeah. So you kept it from Josh and everyone?
I did. I tried my hardest, but I like Josh has like you got to understand me and my brother's connection. Like it just grows. Like our bond is like really strong. So, like with Josh is it, he kind of felt it like literally when I turned my phone on, like I started getting a whole bunch of text messages from like my girl from Josh, and Josh wrote me the first message. Literally like, I just know you did something amazing. I'm like, how do you know I did something amazing? But I really just believe he genuinely felt it and felt that like I did something amazing.
That's awesome. So I definitely have a bunch of questions for you, but what do you think was the sort of key element to your game that helped you get the win here?
I believe making like social contracts with people, like one of the things that I would do, and I, you know, a lot of the times it probably wouldn't be, it wasn't shown on the camera, but like if a person felt, and also two things. So before I say that, let me say this. The game is trust us, trust no one. In a game like that, everybody is also actually looking for someone that they can trust. Mm-hmm. And because people really could confide in me in real life, like I'm just like really like I played myself, like I wasn't like playing any person, I wasn't playing, making up a persona or anything like that. I was literally genuinely just being myself, and people felt the realness that they also, when I told them something, I was honestly either one being true, unless it was like Spencer, but I love you Spencer, I'm sorry bro, like I know that I watched everything back and I'm like damn, but fact is like I was really trying to be as genuine, like be my genuine self, and I allow people to confide in me, and I feel like a lot of people just trusted me in the game, and because they trusted me so much, they would take what I am saying as truth and they wouldn't second guess me, and that helped me get far in the game. And also the word loyalty was a part of my strategy.
Yeah.
Like, I went into Sequester Minis like making these like little rap videos, and it was a part of like who I was, my brand, and using that word in a game like where like I said, you can't trust no one. Having that one person you think you can trust, it just makes you feel more comfortable that you have to keep at least one person you know you really, really can trust when you have a lot of people just being dishonest. So I think that is what made me go the farthest in the game, because no one really can trust any other one else in the house, just me. I was the only person.
Yeah, you know, it doesn't always translate very easily, but loyalty and trust are very powerful tools to use in the game. And you were definitely, I mean, some of the things you were able to do, I think particularly your crowning achievement is the Final Four, where you managed to convince Natalie to essentially vote herself out of the game. I do want to ask you, if Natalie had flipped her vote at the last second there, and if she had voted out you instead of Spencer after the tie, would you have dragged her?
No, I wasn't dragging her.
Do you know who you would have dragged between Josh and Spencer?
So watching, okay, so at the time, I talked to like my alliance, because, you know, the game is, it's so fast paced, and like you can make a quick decision, and my alliance said that right after the, you know, after the game, I said I would drag Spencer. That's what I said to them. But when I watched back the episode, the feelings of all the emotions came back. Because all of Final Four, Final Five, Final Two, all of that was cloudy to me. I couldn't tell you what actually went down. I can just tell you I was there and I actually won the game. That's literally the only thing I got from it. But I can tell you, you know, Natalie did something amazing. But facts, like when I was watching it last night, I was like, I think I probably would have dragged Josh, even though he's my biggest ally and he gave me safety at five, because I am a person that plays with my heart. In that moment, out of all of the people sitting at the table, he hurt me the most, but I didn't want, I wouldn't, like, I don't know. I love Josh to death. I don't really know. It would be a close tie between Josh and Spencer. And I think they both were going to have to talk themselves out.
Yep. That man, that would have been interesting to see. But definitely, yeah. Definitely interesting. I mean, what was your? I mean, it seemed the way the episode went down, it seemed like you were not expecting it at all that Josh or Spencer would turn on you there. And of all people, Natalie is the one that ends up sticking with you. How surprised were you that that's how it went down?
Man, I think you could feel how surprised I was. Like I was like, it was like a miracle. Like, I really prayed every day, Taryn. That prayer of Jabez thing that I was telling you about, like, I actually started my final two speech like that, and thank God Sarge took that out. But like, I started my final two speech saying it. That's why I had to finish my final two speech with saying that as well. The prayer of Jabez, I was looking for like an idol. I was looking for an LOS. And when I'm looking for the LOS, I end up finding this book. And the book just spoke to me. And the house was just so love energy that I went that way with it. I told you I wanted to stab people in the back. I wanted to play this, you know, crazy game that I normally don't play. And then I end up playing a totally different game. I really believe that was like just a straight up miracle, because I would never have thought Natalie would be the one who I would be able to trust the most at the end of the game. I was targeting her at the beginning of the game. It's just so crazy how it's a full circle, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, we played in a mini with each other, which is also something that was like out of my mind. It was more like, you know, this is the game. I'm taking everything here is, you know, I'm going to take all the information, what's going on right now. I'm going to feel energy. I'm going to use all of those tools and not let the mini psych me out. That I'm just so, like, even right now, I'm still surprised Natalie was my biggest ally at Final Four. You know, maybe you won't say she was my ally, right? But she was the only person that had my back at Final Four. And I literally went in it like, oh, this is going to be an easy one. This is easy. All of us are going to vote Natalie out here. Like, and to see that flip, I think that was like also like, I'm very big on the universe. I'm very big on God giving you these signs. I just feel like that was a way of opening my eyes and taking the blinders off and saying that you can't just literally say you think somebody is this way without actually giving them a chance. And one thing I can say is I don't feel like I fully gave her a chance in the game to even, like, I gave her a chance, but like I felt like, oh, you disrespected us at You disrespected me and Shireen by throwing us under the bus. Why would you throw our alliance under the bus? Now I want to come after you again. Like, we literally had your back. Now I want to come after you again because you're the reason my alliance is gone. Like, and all of those emotions, I think God humbled me at the end and was like, she's going to have your back. Like,
yeah,
she's a beautiful soul. Like, she has a heart.
You obviously were not on the jury, but do you have a sense of where the jury might have gone if you did not make it to the final two, and say it was, you know, Josh, Spencer, or Natalie, like what their thoughts were of those three?
So I do believe that the jury would have been a little bit like, so I feel like it would have just been a little bit I don't want to say not fair, because it's fair. I won. Like, I deserve to win. Like, I'm sorry. Like, I played a flawless game. I was never voted out. Like, there was times where people are like, oh, you had your back on the fire. No, I really didn't. There's so much great things that I did that solidified my safety, that kept me safe. So I believe that if anyone, like, let's say it was just any other person besides me in final two, I feel like people would have went in there like, we have to really listen to, we really have to ask these questions and active listen and not do it based off of emotion, but based off of how this person played the game. Because, you know, Josh game wasn't really out there in front of the jury. Spencer game was, but Spencer still had a lot of heat. So anyone sitting with Spencer was going to take some heat, but they also would have gave him a chance and actually listen to him a little bit more. And then also, you know, Natalie, her game wasn't up front, so they would have had to explain their game more. And same thing with Jacob. Jacob also would have took some heat. So it was just like me. I literally had my hands. I aligned myself with everybody. That's me in life. Dude. Yeah. Like, in life, I can align myself with literally every single soul. Doesn't matter if you dislike me at first. There, I'm just like really a nice person. Like,
yeah, I mean that's how it felt. You know, watching the final five, it felt like, you know, if they don't get Billy out, she will crush the jury vote. After that, it felt like it might be anyone's game. Probably, you know, at the time for me at least, it looked like Spencer would probably have the most difficult chance, but it sounds like it really was kind of up for grabs if you hadn't made it there.
Yeah, it was really up. It was up for grabs. It was going to be, but also keep in mind, like, my alliance was solid. Like,
oh yeah,
our alliance, that was like, out of all these alliances in the house, I had solid alliances that even my voice on jury, I could have tainted the jury. Anything that could, I could have literally set a seed and said, no, we're not voting there. We're voting here. If I had the chance to say it, that's like, and same thing, you know, vice versa. If they felt some type of way, they had very strong influence, but I played the longest game. So now everyone who I was really aligned with is going to listen to me a little bit. So I would have had a little influence. So, yeah, you know, they would have had to get me out at final five. I couldn't sit at final four. If I would have sat at final four, I could have tainted anybody's game based off of how they played final four, especially if they made me mad. But I told you, I didn't want to play emotionally. I wanted to play, and I kind of set that aside sometimes. Yeah, I would yell and scream, and I was sad. Sometimes it's a game, but also at the same time, it's a social game. Like, I now take sequester to heart. Like, no one can play with sequester. Put respect on sequester.
So do you think Josh made the wrong call then, saving you at final five? Ooh, there you go.
No.
Well, for his game, yeah.
For his game, absolutely, yes, he made the wrong decision. But I love, like, I understand Joshua. I understand Josh's like reasoning behind it, because at final five, everyone's game was being exposed. He probably was like, if I go to final four with any of these people, I'm probably the easiest drag. Mm-hmm. Like, I can't really trust Jacob. Natalie and Jacob are too close. Spencer, obviously loves the shit out of Billy. And like, Spencer, I'm telling Spencer, I don't trust you the most. It was like, everybody's game is being exposed. The only person he really could give safety to, and which made sense, would be me. Because he could have solidified not being dragged. Mm-hmm. And it made sense. But his game was exposed again at Final Four, when Natalie just came straight out the gate. Like, if you don't vote Billy with me, I'm dragging you. He had to show his cards. And the moment he had to show his cards, anybody who's ever, you know, watched the mini of mine or know me in life, right, would say that would have hurt Billy. She probably would have been like, you're the person I'm taking either way. You brought me. Oh, so you brought me here to drag me? Oh, yeah, you coming with me, brother. But it just like even if like right after, right, like the emotions he showed, I can't tell you what would have happened, man.
Mm-hmm. I can't really. It was very interesting. It was definitely a very interesting way for it all to play out. What did it mean to you to win this thing? Like, you know, you've played minis before. Your brother's a winner, but this mm-hmm. this is a live version. Yes. What does it mean to you to have won it?
So it actually means every single thing. And I'm gonna first start off with, you know, yes, Josh is the reason I learned about Sequester. Josh is the reason I fell in love with Sequester. Our bond grew and we became closer. Yes, that is a truth. While I was playing the game, though, a lot of things about me personally came out, and I was able to see myself, right, in this mirror, because that's what the game Sequester does. Sequester shows you your true colors, because you're playing a fast-paced game, so you got to make fast decisions, and it's going to show you either you have high emotional intelligence or low emotional intelligence. Yeah, I do sometimes. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying I'm a perfect individual, but I can tell you this. I know my heart, period. Like, nobody can question me as a person. Nobody can question my loyalty is huge. And I'm sorry, I say it a lot, but facts, ask my cast members, except Marcelo, but you can ask my cast members, ask the cast how I played my game, like how the game played, how I made them feel. Literally, I'm not a person that's going to stab you. I will tell you straight up to your face. Like, this is what's going down. Because the moment I switched my game, I don't know if anyone like really noticed it, but like I switched my game the moment I voted for Natalie without telling Natalie. I started to tell every single soul, if I was going to put a vote on you, and if I couldn't vote for one of my allies, I'm going to tell you I'm putting a vote on you. Besides date night, obviously, our last date was with Brendan. I was targeting Brendan. He put me in a spot. But like, in the moments that I can tell a person I'm going to throw a vote on you, it's being told. I also played a game that was just honest. I just feel like truly my true color showed. It meant the freaking world to be able to represent people who are like me, who have the same soul as me, who can resonate with me, who manifest and want to see their manifestation come to reality, who like for Audrey, like to have met Audrey, to learn who she is as a person, to see the creative process, all of that, just the entire experience has just been life changing for me. And I think it's something that's going to continuously change my life, because from this game, I found Billy, like, or Ashley, I found me, like, through the game Sequester. So
awesome.
Anybody who wants to play, you should play.
Yeah. All right. Anything else you want to add before we wrap up?
Am I
like
breaking up, Taryn?
We're good. I caught all of it, so I think we're good.
Okay.
Anything else you want to add before we wrap up?
Yeah. Let me add this. Shout out to season 4. Shout out to Shireen. Shout out to Rachel. Shout out to Muna. We did this shit. Shout out to Josh, even though you turned on me. Shout out to Spencer. Shout out to Natalie for being the motherfucking GOAT. I love you, girl. You're amazing. Like I said, you're a beautiful woman. Everything about you this season has totally, like, it's perspective. That's my new word. Fuck loyalty. It's perspective. Everyone's perspective matters. Shout out to every single person. Brendan, Jay West for actually helping me solidify this win. Again, Audrey, you mean the world to me. TR, production, my executive producer, Jordan. Y'all, I love y'all so much. And every single mod that was in every room that helped me when I was stressing, I appreciate y'all. Y'all are amazing. We're going to do great things.
There you go. All right.
Oh, also, I'm dropping an album. I'm dropping an album. Make sure you come and fuck with me with the album.
Did I lose you?
No, I'm here. You're still here. Can you hear me?
Yes.
I'm dropping an album, Terry.
What's the album called?
So I actually just changed it, but it's called Beyond This Universe.
There you go. Where can people find it?
You're going to be able to find it on Apple Music, Spotify. I'm going to drop all links on Twitter. I'm going to drop it on. It's going to be everywhere. You can actually just search my name, Billy CEO, and you'll be able to find everything. Taking off 2021 manifestation. Another one with Taryn.
There you go. The first, I believe, the first album recorded by a Sequester Live winner, right?
Right. Let's get it.
Right. Come on.
Yes. Yes.
All right.
I might use the music from Sequester and make a song too.
There you go. All right. Thank you so much, Billy.
Thank you so much for having me, Taryn.
All right.
I'll see you tonight.
Yes. Thank you guys for joining us. I will see you all next time.
Discover why critics are calling Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes the best film of the franchise.
What a wonderful day!
It's a jaw-dropping spectacle that demands to be seen on the biggest screen possible.
We need to go.
Hang on.
It is our time.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, now playing only in theaters. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another Sequester Season 4 interview. I'm here with Jacob Jones. How are you doing, Jacob?
I am doing amazing. First off, Taryn, I hope you know that this is a dream of mine to be sitting here talking to you about a game that I just played. I am living my best life right now.
Yes. What is your best life?
I'm talking to you.
I did. Yeah, I was on Twitch and people sent me a clip of you going, I want to talk to Taryn so bad.
Oh, well, first off, when I was on Puyo stream, that was so fun. I was a little tipsy, but then your name came up and I was like, I've been waiting to talk to this man for so long. And Taryn, I'm just a huge fan of yours. I actually am. And it's an out of body experience to be sitting in front of you, even though I have before, but it's always cool, you know?
Yeah.
I'm gassing you up too much, too, right now.
All right. Well, let me gas you up a little bit. I was a big fan of you on this season of Sequester. I thought you were very entertaining. You were definitely playing very well for a little while, at least. tell me about your game this season.
My game was messy. My game was dramatic. My game was... It was everything that if I was like watching a reality show that I would like it to consist of besides the win, honestly. So when I first came into the house, I kind of was strictly social. I was just strictly social and kind of maneuvering that to that point. And I had friends that I've made through the Sequester online sphere, but I didn't want that to carry me the whole way through. And so as we got further and further in the game, in my mind, I'm like, yo, I need to start picking some stuff up and making some, you know, big things happen. And then that's what I did during date night. And then after that, my game kind of just exploded in front of my face. Well, that night, it was like a bomb, boom, and then my game went to shambles. But I think that's the fun that I had with it. I was playing. People say, oh, you were playing from the bottom. I kind of put myself at that point. You know, I was in a very good spot at the beginning. And then I did something and it's like from right there. But I always like a scrappy player. I always like a person that has to like definitely like fight to the end. And so no regrets, just choices. And I had so much fun.
Yeah. So, you know, at the start of the game, it felt like you had a lot of allies, a lot of friends in the house. Did you feel like the setup you had was not good enough? Is that why you decided that you needed to make the move at date night?
I did not want. OK, so the reason I'm trying to see if I can eloquently project it to you. So I knew that I had friends and I knew that it would be deemed as an easy way for me to make it to the end. But I didn't want that because honestly, I came into Sequester Season 4 with such a, I'm hard on myself because the last game that I won, which you were watching, Winners at War, I am not proud of like, oh, you know, Jacob should definitely have won that game. Because a lot of people can say, I can say that I won because of my friends on jury. And I didn't want that case to happen this time. And ever since that game, I've always like been hard on myself and like, okay, socially, like I can do well socially. The strategic muscle is something that I really haven't flexed that much. And so that's something that I really want to do. And so the reason I did that at Dying Night is because I didn't want to just get to the end and have all my friends on jury and win. I wanted to build my resume, talk my shit when I got there, puff my chest out and talk with my pinky pointed at the jury like this. And then say everything I needed to say about why I should win and say, hey, I deserve the money. Please give it to me. And so it was more of that kind of structure. I knew I was, if I wanted to just coast, I could have done that. And I could have been at the end with, you know, Marcelo, with Muna, with even, you know, probably Billy, with the people that I knew, but like, how interesting is that? I wanted to have fun. I wanted to go balls to the wall. And that's why I did the move at Dating Night. Was I set up well from the get-go? Some can say so. Did I like the setup? At that point, I did at the beginning. But did I also want to shake some things up to have a more fun, a more dynamic game? Absolutely. And I just always had that hard thing on me where I was like, dang, I want to do things in this game. Instead of just, you know, I have people on jury, I can depend on their vote. But no, I want to like make moves. I want to like steer the ship in the direction that I see it going. And that's what I tried to do. And so,
I mean, I think that's super respectable. I mean, you know, this is Sequester. You know, there's plenty of mini seasons. There's, you know, it's an online show. You can win Sequester. Yeah, there's a little bit of a prize at the end now, but like I feel like really making a mark and making good TV should be more the goal than anything else.
Yeah, come on now. That's what I wanted to do. And I think a lot of times, a lot of the audience from the online Sequester came into the you know, the show Sequester, and I think I was more deemed as like a boring, chill person. And I was like, yo, this isn't me. I'm like a hyped up person. You know, I'm fun. I have all this, you know, stuff going on in me. I want to showcase that. And that's also another avenue of like, yo, let me bring the hype and the dramatics and the rah-rah to Season 4.
Yeah. Well, you certainly did it. So I was definitely a big fan of the date night play. But obviously... Right. There are a couple of things that that did not work here. One is that immediately your line about like, well, it was you or me fell very flat. It seemed like that was not anticipated.
So first, when I got that elimination ceremony, I knew what was about to happen. And Taryn, my chest was like pumping outside of his body. It was like, boom. I was like paranoid looking around like it was an out-of-body experience. And I was like, yo, I'm not a slimy person in general, but that was a very slimy move, especially when I watched it. I was like, Jacob, you're a dick. And so in the moment, I was like putting myself back to where I was. It was like the conscious of like, let's just say something like, and I spoke when probably I didn't have to, or I kind of like, you know, went along with the lie further. But if the plan would have worked, oh my gosh, I was like, like I was looking at myself and looking at the plan that I have, like, yo, this is a masterful, you know, plan. I had the plays that I needed in my mind to be put in place. If the idea of Brendan, like, it's throwing out me and Muna's name, if that would have just like really went in, and I told Natalie and I told Marcelo, hey, can we push this? And they didn't, me watching the show. And so I was like, yo, if we can push Brendan, then Muna will be mad at Brendan and not really me, because I'm telling her, hey, it's between me and you. So she wouldn't have picked me. But I spoke up when I probably didn't have to. And it kind of went downhill from there. But the plan, I'm a dreamer. I'm a dreamer. And it was a very ambitious move to do it.
It
went off without a hitch. And that's what I was hoping for. I felt that I had the first conversation with Natalie, and I was like, I put this in motion. Okay, the plan is honestly flawless. If we can just, I just need you to push it as well, because I can't. I'm the only person throwing out my name. No one else was, you know? And I went to every person, like, yeah, I'm hearing this. And they said, I'm not hearing that. And I was like, oh, really? Well, then, you know, Brendan, I'm hearing he's the one. But it was like, shit.
Yeah.
So you can only wish.
Yes. So Muna is immediately like, no, this is no good. I think part of it too is, did you feel, cause you really went, like, you went for it with Muna and Billy in terms of like playing up the, hey, you know, choose like, and I got what you were doing, where you were uh-huh. like, hey, you know, Billy, you can choose Muna over me. I won't mind. And like, Muna, I told Billy she can choose you. Don't worry about it. But I think the way they took it was that you were laying down for them and that you wouldn't fight.
I would also like, okay, I got that watching it. But, and I even tried to explain to Billy, I was already chosen for the elimination at that point. But I was like, yo, I told you could do that. I never said that I was going to do that. I'm telling you that, hey, if you vote her, like, please, you know, please do it. Like, that's your girl. Like, I don't want anything to happen to Muna. Like, if you have to do me or her, like, choose her. I'm not dumb enough to be like, yo, I'm willing to choose Muna, you know, in front of my game as well. No, I didn't sign up for, you know, Muna's game. I signed up for my game. And so I was just like, how does it, in my mind, it made sense for me to tell Billy, yo, choose Muna. But in their mind, they're like, okay, Jacob, like, because I saw Billy and Muna conversation, and Billy was like, yo, Jacob, like, really loves you. And like, he told me to like choose you. I'm like, yeah, I did tell you, but I thought, you know, you didn't expect me to choose her over myself, you know? And so, but it, people say like I did too much with them, but I felt, how do you think? Cause I really catered to like their emotions in that moment and was like, yo, like, I'm with y'all. Like, I know this is tough. And Muna, like, you know, you have me. And then at the end of me and Muna's conversation, she told me she had an LOS. And I was like, oh, damn. And then the plan got even more juicier to me, because I'm like, oh, I started salivating. I was like, oh, wow. Wait, we could actually do this. She has LOS. Big move. What do you think about like the emotional side that I played with them in that moment?
Well, like I said, I think that it, like, your message was good. I think that the tone of the emotions that you were conveying were mismatched with the message. So they were reading your tone, your emotional tone, and they weren't hearing your actual message. And so like what they got from you was, you know, hey, I'm laying down, let Muna have this. Even though you were saying something different, because your tone was so overwhelming, they didn't even hear the actual message. And I feel like if you're really in that spot and you really have that message, it's not as self-sacrificing. It's not going to sound as self-sacrificing. It's going to be a little bit more like, look, I get it. If you want to pick Muna, I'm not going to hold it against you. Like, you're kind of resigned to it more so than like, go ahead, I'm willing, you know? but I definitely got what you were doing.
Thick. Yeah. I wanted to lay it on. Cause, I feel like we had an emotional relationship, like an emotional connection that, and I was like, I feel like I can't half-ass this. So I got to go full on Oscar worthy performance here, folks. And I almost started crying when I was talking to Muna. Actually, I did start to get teary because I felt like a douchebag. I felt like, oh my, Jacob, like, you're actually about to do this. And she's confiding in you about everything in this game. Yikes. But I still, you know, went along with it. I was like, all right, you know, I have a power. I'm protected. And I told Marcelo, and this is another thing about that round. I was honestly expecting Marcelo and Natalie to like have more of my back in the elimination ceremony and say like, no, Muna, like it was Brendan. Because I remember I told Natalie the plan, and then I told Marcel the plan, and I said, hey, Marcel, if she chooses you, like I have something that like, you know, I can keep you safe. And I feel like if somebody tell me that, I'm like, okay, I can ride for you. And so I actually wanted them to be like, yo, Muna, like it actually was like Brendan, because I told both of them the plan, but that didn't happen. I'm the only one that stuck to, you know, my idea of what the plan was. And wait, and then Brendan co-signed my thing in the same round, because Brendan came to me and said that Muna talked to Spencer and said like, oh, Jacob's like a big threat or something like that. And then I called Brendan out on that at the elimination. He was like, yeah, that's what I heard. And so I was like, okay, ding, ding. Like, hello, can we direct traffic all the way to this man? But yeah.
Yeah, I think part of it too is that like, you know, the appeal of this other plan of taking out Brendan or whatever the, you know, the alternative was, there was too much hope that was going to work. Like there, yeah. You were like, it wasn't resigned enough that like, well, we can try to shoot this shot, but I don't know if it's going to work. It really feels like it's down to you or me. I don't know what you've been hearing.
I think that's what it is.
So you get chosen for the battle match, but you have the battle pass and you get to block it and choose a replacement. This is where I was like, I mean, this is extra brutal, but he kind of has to pick Billy, right?
I whimpered in my mind. I was also thinking I need to choose Billy. I'm not crazy. Like it was, I just did this. I got called out. Both of them are, you know, we're both arguing. I'm arguing with Billy. I'm arguing with Muna. It makes complete sense for me to throw in Billy. My heart was like, I was already too emotionally like, that I could not, the knife was in. I had to turn it, then throw the body out, then stump on the body, then drag the body and put it in the ground itself. And then put the dirt back on the, it was too much emotionally. It was too much for me to continue the villainous ways that I did. And I already had a plan of Brendan. And I was just like, I have to just like stick with this. And also, I thought that I could come back in the game and repair my relationship with Billy. Mm-hmm. Because Billy said something like at the end of like that argument, she was like, you got to yourself. And she was like, you got to yourself. And then she said, no, they got to you. They got to you. They got to you. And once she said that, I was like, wait. So she can honestly still think that they put things in my head for me to like do that move. And I thought that I could possibly go back into the game and work with Billy and like solidify. Obviously, we looked at the next round and it was me, you know, me and Marcelo up. And I couldn't really like form that when, you know, they put me up and I couldn't really depend on their votes. But she said that and that made me think maybe I could come in and work back with them and work back with her.
Did you see how connected Billy was at that time?
No, I did not. I one of the biggest regrets, not regrets, but just things I wish I would have done better. I overlooked certain players. Like I overlooked Billy's game completely. I overlooked Josh's game. And probably because I was in such like deep shit and I'm honestly a vain person where I'm just looking at myself and the people that I'm directly working with. But I didn't see how well Billy was connected at all. I was getting like before that round, I was getting like annoyed that Billy was like throwing her votes. And it was when me and Spencer got voted in and I was about to like call her in and reveal her vote, but I just didn't. But no, I didn't see how well Billy was connected at all. But why? I think I'm like, damn, like, homegirl was doing a damn thing.
So you have to fight through some battle matches after that. You make it to the final five, and you are just short here as you lose to Spencer. What would you have done if you had beaten Spencer in that final five battle match? You're in the final four now with Natalie, Billy, and Josh. Where do you go? What's the plan?
Oh, I think the final four would have went completely different if I was there. Not trying to like, you know, fan myself further, but I don't think Natalie would have. Oh, yeah. She probably would, but I think having that person that she felt secure in, and that, I mean, I was like boosting Natalie up in this. I was like, yo, come on, girl. You're like, you got this. Like you're the bomb. You're the best. And I was probably going to target Billy, but I didn't think Billy would drag me in, because me and Billy had, I think, just like a mutual respect. And I knew her brother, and me and her had conversation about her brother numerous times, that I was going to target Billy in that round. And Josh was apparently on board. Natalie, I knew Natalie was down for it. And I wouldn't have targeted Josh because I knew Josh was going to drag me 1,000%.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying not to say 1,000% so much. 100%. And so, wait, Taryn, would it have made sense for me to target Natalie in Final Four?
Well, it depends on who you think you can beat. I'm assuming you can beat Josh and Natalie. Mm-hmm. Billy is probably up in the air, right?
Yeah, I think Billy, because I knew Billy had Shireen, Rachel,
Muna.
And I didn't know how, well, Josh gave her safety, so I was like, probably Josh, if, you know, however that dynamic worked. But I feel like it would have been a good fight if I just would have talked to myself really well in the jury. But so I honestly think going into jury, I would have targeted Billy. And, you know, I think Billy would have been out. He had to drag someone.
Yeah, it's hard to say, because, you know, if you're there, does Josh feel like you also need to go? Does he feel like maybe, you know, maybe he flips? But I don't know. He probably sees Billy as a bigger jury threat than you. So yeah. It's definitely not a great spot for him either, I would imagine. And I don't know. I could see him going Billy, and then Billy dragging, you know, Natalie in that spot, or Josh in that spot, or you, yeah. Who knows?
Or me, fingers crossed not though. But I think definitely if I would have came back in, I would have been locked in with Natalie, and mm-hmm. we would have, like, I would have loved to sit in final two with Natalie, not just because I thought I could somewhat, not just because like, oh, I think I can beat her. No, it was just like, I loved our relationship. And once you go through the ringer with someone in the game, and Natalie, I mean, she wasn't as vocal as like having my back, but even in final five, she tried to make a plan to get Spencer voted in. She was even willing to go in, you know, the battle match with Spencer. I'm like, and Taryn, I was standing like this when that conversation was happening, right? When she was like, Spencer, I'm voting you and I want you to pick me, or whatever she said. I was in the background. And I was like, okay, like, I just been in two battle matches. I'm kind of tired of going in. If I don't have to, if you want to take this, you know, do it. I should have moved differently in that round. And now I think about it, like, I don't think Natalie or Spencer was going to drag me. And I think that round I voted Natalie, just because it was like down to me and her. I want to say she voted me as well. But I wish I would have played that round a little bit smarter. But I was just like completely exhausted from going in, because those were like three battle matches in one day. You know, even though I think I'm a beast, you know, I can only do so much. And so, but yeah, if I came back in final four, Billy was my target, and me and Natalie would have been locked in like this. And hopefully we could have made it through. I don't know, but I don't think she, I think I could have, like, you know, things would have worked out differently in final four.
Yeah, I'm sure. So, you know, you see that, what were your thoughts on how the final four played out when I don't know if you ever, if you heard what happened, if you saw what happened for the first time recently.
So when Natalie and Josh came out, I immediately like went to Natalie, and she was like, had tears in her eye, like crying. And she was like, you just have to watch it, or something like that. And I'm like, hell, did somebody like pull out a gun and like, you know, aim it? I'm like, I'm confused at this point. And then I heard about a wheel, and I was just like, how did a wheel? Everyone knew that I was expecting Billy to come through the doors.
Mm-hmm.
Because just for me, I just saw at how much connection she had on jury. Mm-hmm. I didn't really see Billy's game, me playing it. Like me during Sequester season four, I didn't see Billy's game like that. Probably just because we weren't necessarily working together. And like, again, I was just so deep into shit. I just had to look at myself and who was standing right next to me and who was standing in front of me. But when I saw it, I was like, oh, wow. And it was sweet, and it was kind, and it was caring. But I wish that Natalie would have just stuck with her guns. I was like, even though I knew the result, I was still hoping that when Natalie went back, I was like, oh no, she's going to turn it up. She's going to like, you know, point at the other person. I was like, I was like, no, she has to, right? She has to. But so I was, it was a lot of emotions, but I don't know, Taryn, that was a mess.
Yeah,
that was a mess. Hopefully it's the only time that will happen in the Quest this season.
Well, you know what? I feel like people screw up that Final Four every time. So,
oh, we saw CJ have it happen season two.
Yeah,
I forgot what happened season three. But yeah, that's oftentimes. But even when I saw it was Spencer and Billy, I was kind of perplexed a little bit because I knew like Billy was good socially, but I'm a huge fan of seeing the game and whatever you can do with the game, having some control of something in the game. Mm-hmm. And I knew Billy was really good socially. And I honestly, like being in the game, I thought that's all she had. Now watching it, I'm like, yo, like you had your hands everywhere in this game and your pulse on everything. Like she's like watching the season, I am definitely impressed by her from honestly episode 1 to episode 10 or 9 or 8, whatever the damn number is. I was definitely impressed, but I voted for Spencer in final 2 just because I quite frankly just saw his game more. Mm-hmm. And we were working together, so I feel like I had some type of like allegiance to that aspect as well. Like, hey, you've kind of been riding with me in this game and through the messes, through, you know, the highs. So I appreciate that. And I appreciated Spencer's whole story. And I feel like his story was definitely evolved throughout the season. But yeah, that was my mindset when I got down to the final two, looking at Spencer and Billy sitting in those chairs and Natalie and Josh coming out looking like they just witnessed the murder. And me waiting to watch to see who got the gun and who got shot first.
Yeah. Were you surprised at the jury vote count at all?
No. I wasn't surprised. No, I knew like heading in there that I think I knew that the outcome was going to be the outcome. But I thought probably two votes were up in the air, Brendan and Jay West, just based off a conversation we had in jury. And so going into the ceremony, I was just like wondering where those two votes were going to lie.
Yeah.
But you know,
well, anything else that you wanted to talk about?
Let's see. I don't think so. I feel like we covered enough. I had fun, and like it was an amazing experience and so fun. I played as hard and as crazy as I could and as messy as I did. But overall, it was a good experience, and I have no regrets. Different moments, I'm like, I probably should have did this differently in the game or did this differently. But honestly, I played the game I wanted to play. And I remember talking to you preseason, and I said, and you were like, are you willing to like backstab people? And I said, I mean, I'm hoping, but when it comes, I don't want to like cry and be like, oh, I don't think I can do this. And so I'm glad that in a sense, I still stuck to my,
oh, dude,
my way.
You lived up to every expectation, man.
I'm glad. That's what I wanted to do. You know, I talked, you know, our recent interview was good. So I look back on that. And I'm like, yo, I did what I wanted to do and what I said I was going to do. And so I'm happy with myself. You know, I have no love lost, you know, but I'm excited. I can go back and watch Date Night and I can salivate over the blood coming, you know, to my hands. I'm joking. I won't go back and watch that. That was a very tumultuous episode. I was emotionally exhausted at a point. I was just like, yo, I'm tired.
You could tell in the confessionals.
Yeah. Oh, especially in that confessional. Because, Taryn, I don't go around backstabbing people in my normal day. I'm a nice guy. But so watching that, and I saw my eyes in that confession. I looked, Jacob, damn. It's like, you went to sleep in like 12 years. I was like, wow, you look like you aged. But, but no, I'm happy with how I did this season, getting to Final Five. If I could, you know, Final Five is honestly like the last stage in the game besides Final Four. And so I'm happy I made it that far. And I played hard. I'll play harder. And I will, you know, continue to do what I do.
Yeah. Are you going to apply for like Big Brother or Survivor?
I love Big Brother and Survivor. But being in the sequester house for like a week, I can only imagine what the hell these people go through for like 3 months. And Taryn, okay, I have a newfound okay. So I want a quick story. So I have a newfound respect for the house guests that go into like these shows like Big Brother and Survivor. Because so I was in high school. I was, probably freshman year, I was a troll. And I was a troll on the internet tweeting and blah, 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 blah. And this was season 15. And season 15 was the first season that I started watching. No, season 14 was the first season that I started watching live feeds. I started watching Big Brother 12 when it first was on TV. And I was such a little punk. And I would get on Twitter and like when those cats, because I wrote so hard for Alyssa Slater, loved Alyssa. I was like, yo, if anyone comes against Alyssa, I'm tearing them apart when they come out. And so I would be like on Twitter, like saying like, blue, 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 Amanda, do, 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 Aaron, do, do, Gina Marie, do, do, do. And I'm blocked by like two other people from Big Brother 15 from when I was in high school. And I feel so bad now, you know, my heart has grown up, matured. But I have such a new respect for them because like, it's annoying, like getting on Twitter after the episodes, I'd be like, yo, shut the hell up, you fucking trash. And I, so now like, it's not to that extent because they were on like a national TV show, but I do feel bad. If I could go back to my 16-year-old self tweeting about Big Brother 15, I definitely would do things differently.
Good to know.
So that's all I have to say.
Life lessons here in the sequester interviews.
Stop trolling.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Jacob.
Of course. I always have a good time with you. Thank you so much for your support, Taryn.
Yeah. All right. I will see you guys in the next one. Hello, everyone, and welcome back for another Sequester interview. This time, I am here with Josh.
Hello. From season 4.
How are you doing, Josh?
Here.
Yes.
Happy to be here. Happy to talk about some Sequester with you.
How many F-bombs are we going to be dropping in this podcast?
You know what? I'm going to see if I can get through the whole thing with zero F-bombs.
Oh, boy.
I'm going to see if I can do it.
Oh, right? Boy.
Let's see how I do.
All right, Josh, how have you been since the season?
Since the season wrapped, I've been great. I've been loving the heck out of watching the whole thing. And now it's all finally done. It's kind of a relief, you know, it's like it's over. Now we can just sit back and just enjoy it. You know, it's done. So I'm happy.
Yeah. I mean, so you came on to this season as somebody who did not have nearly as many connections as anyone else. If I have this right, you had basically no connections with anybody coming into this season.
That is correct. Nobody ever heard of me prior to me showing up in that house.
What was your immediate thought then? Because if I'm you and I'm walking into this house and it's a bunch of people, I'm assuming you knew that some of them knew each other. You probably knew of some of these people. And you're just like, oh, this is not a great setup for me.
Yeah, no, because, you know, coming in from the airport in my car was Muna and Brent. And obviously, I didn't know Brent was playing at that time. But by the time I had my preseason interview with you, it clicked in my head. So I'm like, well, if that is the benchmark of the visibility and the reputations that are going to be present in this house, I'm going to be in some trouble. And then, of course, I get in there. And of course, there's some players that I've never heard of before. But you can quickly see people, boom, going off together. We got to touch base. We got to touch base. So I knew that I had my work cut out for me from the minute that we all met each other, for sure.
Yes. And that first sort of round seemed to be the toughest one for you. You immediately went off to look for an LOS. Do you feel like that was really the thing that caused the vote, or was that just kind of the excuse to vote off the guy that nobody knew?
It's my opinion that that's the excuse that people used to vote off the guy that nobody knew. We were in there with a 7-6 split, 7 men, 6 women. Some people expressed that they didn't want to vote off a woman first. And you look at the other guys that are in there, people don't want to put Brent out first. Jay West, you know, they want to see what Jay West is all about. Spencer has his connections with Katie. Brendan's got Katie. Jacob's got Marcelo. Marcelo's got Jacob. Muna's got Jacob. Everybody had somebody that, if you were going to say their name, you might have to worry about that getting back to the person. Mm-hmm. Whereas you can say my name and you don't have to worry about being like, oh, I'm going to vouch for Josh, or Josh, they're coming for you. We got to form a plan. So right off the bat, like, I had some conversations, and a guy like me, I need time to get my foot in the door. Mm-hmm. You know, I can form social bonds, but I need a minute. I can't just fake it right off the bat. I can't get to where I need to be with people right from the jump, you know? So I knew that I would need time, and knowing myself and knowing how the conversations were going, I was like, I have to pivot. I got to look for an LOS because I can tell that this is not going down the path that I needed to go down.
Yeah. And ultimately this season, no LOS is hidden around.
Of course. And I'm confident if there's an LOS hidden in that house, there's a good chance I would have found it because I was looking everywhere and I would be in a room. And if they were filming me and then the camera person left, I'd be like, all right, well, the LOS isn't in this room, because if it was, they'd want to catch it on camera. So, right. All right, move on to the next room, move on to the next room. So I was looking, I was trying.
Yeah. Ultimately you're going to be exiled. You're sent to this sort of, half the house now is in exile, and, it's not looking great already.
No, it's not looking great. So immediately, I grab Brent. I'm like, hey, you vote for me, you're going in tonight, because nobody wants to be first out. But Brent definitely didn't want to be first out. And he knew that I listened to him. And my fear was that Brent would view me as somebody that he could string along for as long as he needed to and then cast me off when he did. And then I'd get a message after the season saying, sorry, kitty, I had no other options, And I didn't want that text message. I didn't want that. So I had to let him know right then, like, I am here and I am playing and I'm not exposable. You have to work with me. I don't work for you. So immediately I had to go to him, and I tried with some other people, not to threaten them, but, to form bonds. But, I wanted to make sure I wanted to build as much social capital as I could in that first round. I didn't want to spend any. I saw some people saying, oh, why didn't you try to get Billy in there? Why didn't you try to get Shireen in there? They seem to be friends with you. I'm not going to reward some of the only people making an effort with me with a trip into exile. It's too early for me to cash that in. So I'll go in. If I have to fight to get back in the house, I'll do that. But I want to set myself up to be successful if I come back in. So I was just trying to build capital.
Yeah. And that really, to me, is one of the parts about your game that I think worked really well. Like, a skill that you seem to have is that you don't seem to panic. Like, a lot of people in that spot, first person about to be voted out, they would just throw everything against the wall. But in Sequester, you do have like essentially a 50% chance to not leave. And so to do that calculation and say, look, if I do make it back in, I don't want to be voted out again and again because I wasted all my effort trying to not get in that 50-50 spot. And so working toward a long-term plan, even when the short-term is looking at you in the face as you just flew down here and you might be the first one out. That takes a lot of guts, man.
I think also I had confidence in myself going into a battle match. Obviously, it was closer than I would have liked. Like, Jay West definitely gave me a run for my money. But knowing that, I knew coming in that I was going to have one of the least recognizable faces. I said so as much in the preseason interview. And I think that might have been an advantage that I had. It just that I was mentally prepared that there was a strong possibility I was going to go in. So having that confidence, I think, led to me being able to try to calm it down and let's think about the future. Let's not just think about the now. And I think that, that helped out a lot.
Yeah. What went into the choice for the battle match? You initially were going to go for Katie, and of course you switch it to Jay West. What was the initial thought for Katie, and then why did you decide to switch?
So the initial thought for Katie was, just in talking to her, even before I got into exile, I felt like we weren't gelling where we needed to. And once I heard that my name was going around, I was like, Katie seems like she's probably one of the people that are doing that. So I had it in my head, like, there's a good chance I'm going after Katie. If Jacob Jones is in exile, I was going to go after him. So, so fortunately he wasn't in there, but anyway, so we get up there and I reveal Jay West, Brent, and Katie. Those are the three biggest names in the house that were there in exile. I wanted to make a statement, and I was trying to figure out what's the biggest statement I can make. So going after Katie, that was my initial thought. Jay West says, if you want to come back in this house, go after Katie. If I'm ready to go in, let's do this. And originally, I didn't want to pull in Jay West. I felt like him and I had started to bond a little bit. I had formed inroads with Shireen. I knew Jay West and Shireen were cool. And it was kind of like, wait, like, I can get rid of Jay West and be closer to Shireen. Or should I keep Jay West and then I can work with him and Shireen? But at the point that he basically said, try to punk me out, essentially, it's like, what is the biggest splash I can make to tell people, I don't care who you are. If you're not working with me right now, you can go in. There's no promises of I'll work with you in the event that I come back, you know, from a battle match that you sent me into. So that's it. Like you show that you weren't going to vote with me, then you're coming in.
Yeah. So you beat Jay West. Mm. You're back in the game. You get an LOS on the way that you never have to even use. You're a little bit at fault for some of the slowness of the game because you were holding on to this thing and it was like the only one in the game basically. Boston robbing it there. You come back into the game and from this point forward, you really managed to ingratiate yourself back in. What do you think were the key elements to avoid being a repeat vote and making your way back and making your way into the structure of the game?
Certainly, absolutely making inroads with Muna, Shireen, and Billy. We were all standing in the kitchen and they were all bonding and I was there and trying to get to know them. And then of course, when, you know, I was sent into exile, I made sure I shored up those relationships. And as we could see, like Billy got the killer and she got this choose the people that went up. And that was huge for me because it would have been so easy for anybody to throw me up there because theoretically anybody could have thrown me up for her to be nommed that round. So to have somebody that I had put inroads in to get that power saved me, because if that didn't happen, it could have easily been a let's throw Josh in every single time kind of scenario. So that was huge for me. And then, you know, after I came back from exile, Spencer comes up to me immediately and says, we need to talk. Like there are people in this game that like people will never vote for. I say, oh, well, who's that? He says, Muna and Shireen. It's like, okay, now I see another side forming over here on the Spencer side. And, you know, fast forward, I know I'm jumping ahead a little bit, but like fast forward into round three, when majority rules and Spencer is on the outs and in the minority, and he says, I'm pulling in somebody from that room that just lied to me. And Muna was in that room. And I'm like, all right, cool. Spencer's going in. And then Spencer's going to clip Muna. And that just gets me closer to Shireen and Billy, who are the people that I really want to work with, because I need that core to take a hit because I'm going to be number five for those women. And I can't be number five. I got to I'll take a number three. I'll take a number two, but I can't be number five. So knowing where both of those sides stood and having them at odds with each other was huge for me because I could stay in the middle and both sides were cool. Neither side wanted me gone because they both thought like, hey, I can use him to help clip the other side. So that was huge for me.
Yeah, that definitely seemed to be a running theme for you, is that a lot of people in the game seem to look at you as somebody that they could sort of bring in and can sort of use and Brent more than most at the start, it seemed very vocally he's a big fan of mine, so he'll do, you know.
I think Brent is a bigger fan of the fact that I listen to him than I am a fan of Brent's. To put it bluntly.
Yeah. But I mean that was probably a tricky thing to navigate, right? Because people, you know, sort of due to what Brent was saying, a lot of people seemed to be linking the two of you together at times. There was that one scene where they're like, oh, he's a big fan of yours. Like, I didn't even know.
Yeah, that was rough, especially, you know, when Rachel stood up during the killer detective round and says, Josh and Brent clearly are working together, which is why I tried to do some damage control in round three. Like I said, like when it became abundantly clear that Spencer was going in during the majority rules round, I told everybody, I'm voting for Brent. I want Brent to go. And then, you know, Spencer was like, Josh, are you voting for me? I'm like, yeah, I'm going to vote for Brent. I'm going to vote Brent out. And if you get eliminated, Spencer, call out my vote. Because I knew Spencer was going up. And I wanted everybody to see that I voted for Brent and that this narrative that I'm like this with him is completely false. So I was trying to distance myself from Brent. And it's like, all right, I'll distance myself from him. I'll vote for him. He ain't going in probably. And then I can tidy things up with him the next round. So I was always trying to distance myself from Brent while still working with him as much as I could.
What do you think were some of the key differences between you and Brendan? Because Brendan seemed to occupy a somewhat similar space as you did, in the sense that he was trying to have ties to both sides. He's working with people like Brent and Spencer. He's also trying to keep ties with Jacob and some of the other people in the house. But ultimately, he kept getting targeted by all sides at times, whereas you really got to stay in the background. What do you think was the reason for that?
So I didn't spend a lot of time interacting with Brendan, you know, while I was in there. You know, of course, the moment that I tried to actually lock something up with him on date night, he gets clipped immediately. But from my perspective, it seemed like I had put more time in to having one-on-one conversations, talking specific strategy. Who do we want out? Who do we want gone? So people didn't think that I was just kind of like this nebulous player that was cool over everyone. They thought that I was someone that was with them, that I was either in their pocket or we were in it together. And for that reason, it made me not expendable to them. They thought they needed me around. They needed my vote. Whereas I felt like people didn't know where Brendan's head was at. They didn't know where his vote was going. They didn't know where his loyalties lied. I think they saw him more as someone who was loyal to himself. And I guess eventually that's what ended up getting him, you know, getting him eliminated.
So how many times throughout the game do you think you were like blindsided by the outcome of a vote? Because I'm thinking date night, and then I can't think of another one.
The Natalie vote. Oh, the Natalie vote in round right. two. I was completely in the dark, and I felt bad because at one point in the round, I told Natalie straight up, like, I think you're the safest person of the whole bunch. Mm-hmm. And then of course she gets eliminated. And I'm like, oh. Damn it. So, and kind of segueing off of that, like when she comes back in the house, I immediately grabbed her. And, you know, this wasn't on camera. And I'm like, listen, I am so sorry that I said you were the safest person. I genuinely believe that. But if anything that showed me last night is that people didn't vote for you because they wanted you out. Mm. They voted you because they view you as expendable, just as the way that they viewed me as expendable in round one. And Natalie, you are not expendable to me. Like, I feel like I need you in this game, and I feel like you need me, and I want us to have a good, solid, you know, lines of communication so we can navigate this game together. And I know I'm jumping way ahead, but, you know, I tried to shore up that relationship with her throughout the season. But anyways, going back, yeah, that vote and then the Muna one, I knew it was up in the air. I was hoping Muna got the vote. She did, but it was still shocking. Like, oh, wow, it really happened. Like my jaw dropped when Muna got eliminated on date night for sure.
I mean, were you, because that was definitely one of the craziest votes. You know, she picks. Did you expect when you heard Jacob go, well, oh, I thought it was you or me. Did you believe him at all? Or were you also with Muna like, oh, this guy's just trying to BS right now?
Yeah, I thought he was totally full of it. Yeah. Because I was like, what is he talking about? Because I never heard Muna or I never heard Jacob's name.
Right.
Excuse me. Never. Not even once. The only person I heard Jacob's name from was Jacob. So, you know, if there were more people, if Natalie and Marcelo were going around saying, I'm here and it's Jacob, then maybe, you know, the lie would have sold better. But I was like, oh, no, he totally just stabbed you.
When he pulled out the battle pass, were you concerned at all that he would throw you up against Muna?
I thought it was a possibility because I had no working relationship with Jacob. I believe the first time you ever even see an on-screen conversation between me and Jacob is date night when it's kind of forced to see a conversation between him and I. Yeah. So I thought that there was a good chance that he could have put me up there. I don't know. I'm kind of segueing off this, but like I from the first moment that I got in there and I talked to Jacob, in the house, I remember there was this moment that we were looking out the windows together and Jacob said something to me like, Josh, I feel like you and me can really do some damage in this game. I'm like, oh, all right. And from that moment, I was like, Jacob ain't my guy. Like, I don't want to work with Jacob like at all. Cause it sounded like one of those kind of used car salesman kind of pitches. Like, how can you know you want to work with me? You don't even know me. And so I was always distanced from Jacob. So yeah, when he used that battle pass, I was like, oh, this could be me. This could totally be me. And I was thinking, it's like, can I even use my LOS if he does this? Like, is that a thing I can do? Cause I wasn't sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the end game seemed to be where you really started to lock things in. And you make a couple of moves. The one I'm obviously most interested in here is, final five. You save Billy, you go to the final four. It seems like you have a plan. It falls through. Do you still feel like the final five move was right? Do you think that you could have gotten Billy out at five? And if so, what do you think would have happened?
I stand by my decision to say Billy at five, because consider the alternative. Let's say I clip Billy at five. Let's say she goes out. Now I'm sitting there with Spencer, Natalie, and Jacob. If Spencer catches the votes, he drags Natalie. Natalie catches the votes, she drags Spencer. If Jacob catches the votes, he drags me. So either A, I'm eliminated, or B, I'm sitting in a final two with Jacob. I don't want to sit in a final two with Jacob. I know that him and Muna definitely got into some beef and had a rift in their relationship. But even after Jacob betrayed Muna on date night, she said something to the effect of, Jacob, I hope you win, and I hope this win brings you glory, like in a spiteful kind of way, like an F you, Jacob. And you know, since then, Jacob was trying to do damage control and, you know, being like, Muna, I think you're great, like every opportunity could. So as far as I know, Muna could be in the jury saying, you know what, I disagree with what Jacob did, but, you know, I understand why he did it. Or I could see Muna being like, I disagree with what Jacob did. I'm pissed at Jacob. And I'm still going to vote for him just to show him that, like, I'm actually a loyal person, and, you know, so I didn't want to hinge on Muna, who had a lot of influence and a lot of friends in the jury, for whatever reason, deciding that she still wanted to vote for Jacob, because if she does that, it's done. Jacob wins. And even if she doesn't do that and she decides to vote for me, that just opens up the door for me to get the win. It doesn't guarantee it. So I figured with the information that I had, I was in a much better spot going in there with Billy, Spencer, and Natalie, especially since Natalie had just at final six voted for Jacob instead of herself. Like, she had demonstrated that she was willing to cut allies in favor of herself. So I had every reason to believe that we would all be on the same page to clip Billy at four.
How confident were you that Spencer was willing to cut Billy? Because, you know, in the show, at least, you know, he was talking in confessionals like, I'm going to the final two with Billy. And then, you know, cut to final four. He's like, sorry, Billy.
I didn't buy it for a second. Yeah. I was thinking that Spencer was hoping that through the machinations of the game, that Billy would get clipped by somebody else and that he wouldn't have any blood on it. And he wanted to appeal to the jury to say, look, I'm working with Billy. But there, I didn't think there was any genuineness in that. So I knew if push came to shove at final four, Spencer would fold on her in a minute.
And I imagine that part of your plea to Billy as explanation was also meant to be persuasion for the other players at the table that they also needed to do what you were doing with Billy.
Absolutely. And also it was me trying to set myself up to not get dragged. Yeah. If I was successful in clipping Billy, you know, I've watched previous seasons and at final four, people talk about how deserving they are and how great their game is. And I always hate it. Cause it's like, why are you're just pitching yourself to catch the votes here, which I knew I wasn't catching the votes. So when I was saying it, I was pitching to Billy to, hey, don't drag me, you know, if I get rid of you here. So, I was appealing to the other people as well as appealing to Billy not to drag me.
How do you think things would have gone if Jacob beats Spencer in that battle match and it's Jacob, Billy, you, and Natalie?
It's difficult because, I mean, let's say, I mean, the big question is, could Jacob tap into Natalie and get her to stick with the vote? Because at that point, the move is, I think, still to clip Billy in the hope that she drags Jacob, which she might have. It's totally possible. It's so hard.
Hard to think. I talked to Jacob and he said his plan would have been to vote Billy out and pull Natalie in to do it. I think he probably could have. I think with Jacob there, I think Natalie probably goes along with it. But if Jacob has to convince Natalie, you know, to vote Billy, how pissed is Billy? You know, like who knows where Billy goes at that point?
I know. I have no idea. No idea.
If you get voted out there somehow, who do you think you would have dragged, or would have depended on you know, how it happened?
I mean, if I caught the vote, I mean, believe me, I'm threatening somebody with a drag.
Right.
So, you know, if I'm catching the vote, then whoever didn't do what I said, like, you're getting dragged. It would have been that simple.
Of course you get to the final four. It really seemed like you had a set plan. I watched you like looking at the clock. 10 minutes is a long time.
Oh man.
Do you think you might have had a better chance if it was shorter?
Absolutely. When they said it was going to be 10 minutes, I went 10 minutes audibly. And I was like, we can knock this out in two. And, you know, they said, we're doing 10 minutes. I'm like, all right, great. So when the round starts, you know, I wanted to get out there and just be like, hey, I know it's about to get hectic. Let's just all like congratulate each other on making it to Final Four. Gobble up as much clock as possible, because the last thing I want is to give Billy any time to work her magic. And as soon as Natalie right out the gate, Josh, vote for Billy or else I'm dragging you, I'm like, so 10 minutes was a long time, and I was hoping I could eat up so much of the time just before I made my move.
Mm-hmm. When you're talking to Billy, I imagine you're feeling like, I feel like I have this. Spencer starts to go like, sorry, Billy, I have to do it too. But then Natalie says that she's with Billy still. Like, okay, where do you go from there?
I'm trying to put myself back there. Because, I mean, there was some stuff that obviously wasn't shown, but one thing is, like, Spencer and I were begging, pleading with Natalie. Natalie, don't throw your game away. You've come this far. Don't do it to Spencer. Don't do it to me. Don't do it to yourself. You know, like, I'm not asking you to make the easy decision here. I'm asking you to make the hard decision, but I'm asking you to make the right decision. And I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe this was happening. I felt like I had put in so much work to put this Final Four together, and I had it. As soon as I took up my blindfold and I saw Spencer was there, I'm like, this is my game to lose. Like, this is what I've been working for. This is what I've been setting up. And so when Natalie just refused to budge, you know, and she wouldn't say definitively, like, I'm definitely voting for Spencer here. You know, she kept looking like she was like really considering, thinking like, which way do I go? Which way do I go? Which way do I go? And I'm like, I'm just hoping that she makes the call to vote for Billy. And if she had said definitively, like, I'm definitely voting for Spencer, then it would have been okay, pivot. We got to vote for, Natalie here and hope that we can get this to a wheel and then get Billy out. But, you know, just, yeah, no, I was losing my mind. I was totally losing my mind. I couldn't believe it.
Well, was there any part of you that, you know, okay, Natalie votes for Spencer. Now you have to convince her to switch her vote. And part of that is you have to convince her that if you get wheeled out, you are dragging her. So she can't win, as long as she believes that she will be dragged. They did a flashback to like, who do you think is the least likely to follow through with the threat? And she says, you, were you aware of that? Like, what were you trying to do to convince her?
Oh man. Yeah. Cause right after the first tie, right out the gate, I say, Natalie, if I get the wheel, I'm dragging you. And then I forget what happens. And then Spencer's like, Natalie, you're going to lose no matter what, if you don't vote for Billy. And I told Natalie, like, Natalie, I mean it, like, your game is about to be over. Like, we're both about to be eliminated from this game if you do not vote for Billy. Like, I'm not budging, you know, like, none of us can beat her. And I don't remember everything I said, but, like, you know, I would rather play for first and get fourth place than to play for second and get second place. And so, like, that was the hill I was willing to die on. And I tried to convey to her that I'm going to die on this hill. Like, I'm not going to budge. So, like, we need to get on the same page here. Like, that's the only shot that either of us has a chance to win this game. But I guess she made up her mind at that point.
So you head off to the jury. What's your thought process between the final two here?
I was voting for Billy no matter what. To me, it was so cut and dry. I said something on another podcast, but Spencer went into four battle matches. You know, mm-hmm. Billy went into zero. You know, you saw a confessional of mine in the finale saying, I have to convince the jury if I'm up against a Spencer or something that going into battle matches is a testament to poor gameplay. You know, you didn't choose to go into those battle matches. You didn't make a move. You know, or as you put it, like, you survived battle matches. It's not a game move.
Yeah.
Like, to put it into an analogy, Like, let's say you take a test and you get a B on the test, and Puya takes a test and fails the test. But the teacher, being a nice person, says, Puya, I'm going to give you another chance. I'm going to give you a retest. And Puya gets an A on that test. Is that fair to you that you get a B when you never failed it, but Puya gets an A? No. Mm-hmm. Puya should get half credit. So I give Spencer half credit for winning those battle matches. But Billy gets full credit because she never had to go to those battle matches. She never failed that test in the first place. So for me, it was very cut and dry. I was always going to vote for Billy, and there's nothing else, nothing that anybody could have said to change that.
Yeah, there it is. Anything else that you wanted to talk about?
Anything else I want to talk about? Man, was that fun? no, I mean, you know, I mean, I had a blast doing it. You know, I've always watched these games, and I've always thought, like, you know, there's no job out there for me that has like my particular skill set, you know, that out there. And so like, I always wanted to do something like this, cause I feel like, you know, if given the opportunity, I would have a chance to hopefully excel. And I went and I played the game I wanted, and I'm proud of the game I played. And, you know, I'm just really thankful for the experience.
Well, it was definitely fun watching you. You definitely, like, you did very well. I think I said this at some point, but I think you probably played the best sequester game I've seen anybody play. And so you know, congrats on that, man.
thanks a lot.
All right, well, that's what we have for you with Josh, and we'll probably be back with some more interviews as well later in this, or right after this, you know, it'll be later for me, but for you, it'll be right after I say stop, or whatever I say when I end things. So stop. Hello, everyone, and welcome back for another interview for Sequester Season 4. I am here with Spencer, the runner-up of Season 4. How are you doing, Spencer?
How's it going, Taryn? It's good to be back. I got some feedback from my interview with you from the preseason, and I was told that I didn't bring enough energy. And so I'm planning on bringing a little bit more energy, a little bit more excitement to this interview this time.
Okay, there you go. Was it Jacob Jones that told you to have more energy like he did in the final question?
Yeah, everybody was just saying, you know, Jacob, you know, specifically, he said, you know, Spencer, you just, I felt like with Taryn, you just need to turn that bitch up. So.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, the game is over now. After mm-hmm. you talked to me, you played the game. Now it's over. How do you feel about it?
I feel pretty good. I'm very, you know, content with how the season went. Obviously, I wanted that win. I wanted that win at the end, you know. I felt like that was very apparent in the way that I was playing the game, and that I was, you know, really trying to do whatever I could to get the victory there at the end. But, you know, I wasn't lying with what I said in the episode. Obviously, I wanted to beat Billy, but if there was anybody I could have lost to, I am glad it was her. She's a great person, a good friend of mine, and an incredible, deserving winner.
Yeah. So we heard from you that you wanted to go to the end with Billy. But, you know, you also voted against Billy in the mm-hmm. final four. Did you at some point want to go to the end with Billy and you changed your mind, or?
Yeah. So one of the things that, I wish was a little bit better captured during the season was the relationship that Billy and I did have. It seemed a little bit one-sided from both of us, where it's like, I love Billy, and Billy's like, I'm going to play this kid. But like Billy and I felt like we always had a very good friendship, if nothing else, during the game. And, you know, she's just that likable of a person where it's like, even if it feels like it's not in your best interest, you don't really care, right? Like, she's like, you know, JT from Token Teens, where it's like people are happy to lose to Billy. But, you know, what I in that round where, you know, you have to ask who you want to go to the final two with, or you have to answer who you want to go to the final two with, I said Billy, but, you know, I would want to go to the final two with Billy, but she wouldn't be my first choice to go to the final two. So, you know, it's just a little way that I found of playing around the system of having to tell the truth there.
Yeah. I was very confused about that whole thing, to be honest, but
yeah, it was
having to tell the truth. Like, you didn't actually have to tell the truth, right?
Well, some of the way, like, I wasn't in the challenge for very long, so yeah. I didn't really get to, you know, I think I only answered two questions. I answered, you know, who do you want to go to the final two with, and who do you want to see voted out at the final four? But one of the ways that I think they tried to make sure that you were telling the truth was to make you provide a little bit of explanation as to why that was your answer, right? So you can't just say, Natalie, because I feel like it. It's like, well, why do you feel like it? What's the reasoning for it? So even if you're not telling the truth, you're putting something out there, right, which is going to be a little bit exposing of a way that you're feeling.
Yeah. So you came into this game. You had, I think, like two connections. You had Katie and Brent to some degree. Mm-hmm. Was there anyone else?
So Katie and Brent were the two people that I was actually close with and that I, you know, had spoken with on a more personal level than just, you know, surface level. Hey, it was fun playing in a mini with you, but you know, I had played in a mini with Brendan. I had played in a mini all the same mini. It was Brendan, Natalie, and Billy. We were all in the same mini together. So, I actually forgot that Brendan was in that one, but, Natalie, Billy, and I were all, you know, we worked closely with each other during that mini. So I felt like there was a little bit of just, you know, an unspoken bond between the three of us at some point. And, you know, that kind of got me in trouble a little bit, where I felt a little bit more comfortable than I should have been.
Mm-hmm. It seemed like very early on you got into trouble and it took a very long time to sort of pull yourself out of it. What was the impetus there? What started all of this, this trouble for you in the game?
Fear. I was terrified of having like everything come crashing down on me so quickly and for seemingly no reason. You know, I felt like there needed to be, I felt like I had more to play and I was just so, you know, worried about being embarrassed of like, okay, I'm going to, you know, go home for no reason. And just because people couldn't find a way and I'm going to, you know, not even a flame out, right? Just kind of fades away into the background. And I didn't want that to happen. You know, I wanted to be a pivotal member of the season. And I, you know, kind of got backed into a corner and I was like, what could work for me? And it worked in a way that it got me further in the game, kind of, but you know, I got further in the game, but it wasn't because of that. And I felt like for at least a couple rounds, I was under the impression that it was working as far as it, you know, as far as I was intending it to get me further in the game. But it was just a bad read on what was happening. You know, I thought that maybe in round two, when Natalie was voted out instead of me, it was because I had done something right. And so I got it in my head where I'm like, okay, you know, maybe I did something okay there. Let's keep that moving. Let's keep that, you know, battle match, rah, rah, like beat my chest energy going. But man, that was not the way I should have gone with it.
Yeah. You know, I talked to Josh and I talked to him about the first round where, you know, he talked about like, you know, he didn't want to go all out in that first round. He was like, look, there's probably not a lot I can do to protect myself in this round. So I'm going to focus on like relationships and kind of like, I get voted out. I'm going to have to win my way back in. And then I'm going to focus on the long game. It feels like, maybe that was, you know, you took the opposite approach where you were really trying to prevent yourself from going in, throwing everything that you could against the wall every round.
Yeah. And that's kind of what it felt like needed to be done at the time. It felt like, you know, I mean, for the first five rounds, I was either voted out or up for elimination. And it didn't feel like that was going to change, right? Like after the first two rounds, you know, I get exiled in the safety and exile round. And then Billy, of course, kills me in Killer Detective. And I just was noticing this pattern of like, it feels like people view me as an easy target as far as somebody that they can put up because, you know, Jay West was a very close ally of mine and he leaves the game. Katie was a close ally of mine. She left the game and it didn't feel like there was a lot of people who wanted to have my back in a way that they wanted to protect me rather than just protect themselves. And I felt like at least every other person in the house had at least one other person who was looking out for them in that way. And I just didn't.
Yeah. So you get thrown in time and time again. It seems like the biggest part of your game here, especially in the early portion of the season, was this conflict with Muna that mm-hmm. seems to have started because Brent told Muna to put you in exile and she wasn't allowed to say why, right? Like, that was kind of the start of it, right?
A little bit. I really wasn't upset when that happened, because I knew when it was me, Jacob, Natalie, and Rachel there at the bottom four, and Muna had to pick between one of us. Mm-hmm. I knew that it was going to be me. I knew that, you know, I just hadn't made that connection with Muna. I know that she and, you know, I knew that there was some relationship with her and Jacob. I know that she's very, you know, I know that in the early stages of that game, she's going to avoid putting up a, you know, she's going to avoid putting up a woman when she can put up a man, because she's very, you know, four strong women in these games, right? And so I knew that there was not a chance in hell that I was going to get safety from that, but I didn't realize that it came from Brent. And so I kind of just was like, water under the bridge, let's move on. And then, you know, from my end, the conflict began when she said that she couldn't vote for Natalie because she was from Minnesota. That's really when I was like, okay, this is not just, you know, a one-off thing.
It really doesn't sound like a real reason.
No, and it didn't feel like a real reason. And I don't know if that is something that she was actually feeling in that moment, where she was like, I really, you know, I can't vote out somebody from the same state as me. But like, I, at the time of the game, I was living in Florida. I had no qualms about voting out Marcelo. Like, he was also from Florida. It was just not like, maybe it's a Minnesota thing, but I just didn't really have a problem with it. And, but in that moment, when I'm fighting for my life and somebody has an excuse that's as comfortable as they're from the same state as me, so I can't vote them out, I was like, okay, you're not on the same level of like urgency that I am right now. And, you know, you clearly don't have the investment in me that I'm trying to build between the two of us. And I just, you know, said, okay, like, I have work to do here. This is going to be an uphill battle to build this relationship. And then the next round, it just, everything blew up.
Yeah. And you know, it, again, you go battle match to battle match. Mm-hmm. And that stops when Muna comes back in. Right. And you're able to repair things there. Tell me how this went, because, you know, part of the reason things went wrong is because you felt like she kept reaching out and it wasn't real, I guess, because mm-hmm. it kept breaking. So how was it that this time you guys were able to sort of put things aside and actually trust each other?
I think it's because we had a round where everybody was on the table to be voted for. And I recognized what Muna was saying as truth. I said, you know, internally, I thought that she's making sense. It, you know, it, to vote out Muna here means that, you know, there's nobody else that's outwardly on the top of this game, right? And not in the fact that like anybody's running the game, but the perceived threat level of who could win at the end. And I felt, you know, I just won three battle matches in a row. And despite having some negative relationships in the jury, I didn't feel like it was an entirely hostile jury towards me. So I felt like keeping Muna in the game meant that there was somebody in front of me who had a perceived threat level that was higher than mine. And as far as Muna's willingness to, you know, work with me goes, I think she saw it too. And I mean, she was the one who said it. She was the one who brought it up. I didn't feel comfortable really starting that conversation because of how our relationship had ended or had ended off before, you know, one, before she got back in the game, and two, the round prior, where she came in basically, you know, putting a bounty on my head saying, you know, I want Spencer out, Brent, I'm pairing you up with Spencer because I want you to beat him in a mental competition. And when I found out that my first date was with Muna, I was like, man, this is not going to be a good start for this round because I'm not going to get anything accomplished here. Everybody else is going to have a date and they're going to be able to talk about who they want to vote out, plans for the future. And I'm just going to be here in an awkward conversation, trying to make niceties with somebody who there's really not going to be any common ground with. But the fact that we were able to find that common ground, the fact that we were able to, you know, really this time bury the hatchet meant something. And I think it meant something to me. And I think it meant something to Muna as well.
Yeah. And from that point forward, you know, you're basically, you don't get voted out again, right?
Yeah.
Jacob gets voted out and pulls you in. Yeah. So what was the plan then? So date night happens, everything blows up because Muna ends up getting voted out, but stays in the game. And now it seems like, you know, there might be two sides to this thing. Mm-hmm. What's your plan from there?
My plan was, you know, I recognize that the game state had shifted a little bit to where nobody was really worried about me because I was some, you know, asshole who was yelling at people. But I felt like people were now more concerned about betrayal and, you know, taking out people that were social threats, right? Like the Munas, the Jacobs, and the Billies eventually. So I felt relatively comfortable. I felt like getting to the end, there would be people there that I was going to be able to beat. And I felt like I just needed to make sure that that would be the case. I needed to make sure that I would be able to get further in the game and, you know, kind of keep my nose down a little bit because I had already built up a bit of a resume for myself. And if I could build social relationships from the final eight on, I felt like I would be able to garner some respect with people going into the jury and maybe have them say nice things about me to the people that were there and maybe have them change their mind. And, I mean, it went off without a hitch until the final four.
Yes, the final four was definitely an interesting spot here. Mm-hmm. What was your ideal situation to go down there in the final four?
My ideal situation was for a 3-1 vote on Billy. And I felt like Billy would have dragged Natalie at the beginning. Mm-hmm. But you know, there was a sense that I know that Billy wanted there to be a female in the final two and that she was, you know, she felt strongly about that. But upon, you know, further review, upon hearing what Billy actually said in the past, you know, if Natalie had switched her vote on the revote, she wouldn't have dragged Natalie. And in that case, she said she probably would have initially pointed to me. But I felt like there was a way that I could have gotten the vote off of myself. I could have gotten the drag off myself and onto Josh. Because Billy she's all about loyalty, right? She's all about loyalty. She said it every single episode of the season, how she's a loyal player. She wants to look people in the eyes and understand how they're doing. And I felt like she would have been really hurt by the fact that Josh gave her safety at final five just to use her as a pawn to be eliminated at final four. Mm-hmm. And I felt that the way that I had treated Billy this season was good. And I never had that chance to betray Billy like Josh had just done. So I felt like there was a solid shot for me to avoid the drag there. But, you know, seeing what happened, you know, it's funny that you talk about an ideal scenario, because I think that the only way that I didn't get any kind of drag on me was with what happened. I think Natalie would have dragged me. I think Josh, there's a potential that he would have dragged me, but I'm not sure. But once it got down to the final four, and it came down to the wheel and Josh said, you know, Natalie, if it lands on me, I'm picking you and go, I'm dragging you. I knew that Josh was never going to back down from that. And you want to know how? Because I know that Josh is a huge RHAP fan. I know that he's a huge RHAP fan. And I did my homework. I know the Taryn and Brent strategy on how to properly play the final four. And I knew that Josh also knew how to play the final four. So while that wheel is spinning, I'm holding Josh's hand, praying to all that is holy that it lands on Josh, because I know that I'm going to the final two. At least I know that Billy's in the final two with me, but mm-hmm. at least I've got a fighting shot. If it lands on Natalie, I'm out of that game right then and there. Mm-hmm. So it worked out well in the sense of me getting further, but you know, man, once that wheel started spinning, I knew that Billy had won the game.
Yeah. Did you? So you go into that final two situation. The deck is certainly stacked against you. Did you feel like you had any shot? Did you think that there was any chance? Who were you focusing on as potential, you know, flip votes?
Yeah, I felt like there was an outside chance. I thought that there was, you know, there were more locked votes for Billy than there were, you know, possible votes for Spencer at the, at the time. I felt like Billy had a guaranteed five votes. I thought that Muna, Rachel, Shireen, Josh, and Natalie were all going to vote for Billy. Josh, because of, you know, Rachel, Shireen, and Muna, because of the relationship that they had with Billy in the game, as well as the negative relationship they had with me at times in the game. But then, you know, Josh and Billy worked very closely together. Billy gave Josh a, Billy gave Josh a chance. Natalie basically just, you know, fell on her sword for Billy there at the end. So if she doesn't vote for her, what did she do all that for? So I know that there's only six votes up for grabs and I need all six of them. And I thought that the trickiest votes for me to get would be Jacob, Marcelo, and Brendan. I thought those would be the three votes that were really tough. I thought that I would most likely have Jay West. I thought I would probably have Brent and Katie. But I knew that there were no guarantees for me. I knew that every single vote that I got sitting in that final two, I needed to win in that final two.
Why do you think you lost the Jay West vote?
Honestly, I have no clue.
You never talked to him?
I have no clue. No, I have talked to him about it. I got nothing but love for Jay West. I still don't know why he voted for Billy. He and I were really close in the game. He and I were roommates on night one. We moved in together. He said, you know, you remind me of Dustin from season three. Dustin and I were really good friends. And, you know, I see a lot of Dustin in you, so I want to work with you. And then, you know, he tells me during Safety and Exile that he wants to give me safety. And we had a really, really good relationship with each other. And then, you know, it kind of came as a shock. Like, that was the biggest shock vote for me from the final two. It's like, oh man, Jay West voted for Billy. And, I think, you know, she just said the right thing at the right time, maybe gave him a little look, maybe gave him a shout out when he needed it. And he felt inclined to vote for her.
Yeah. Well, anything else you want to talk about?
I think that, you know, at that final two, Billy and I were taken away from the barn. That's where we were taken away from the front of the barn. The jurors went in and they were casting their votes. And Billy and I had a chance to, you know, talk. And I was basically pre-congratulating her. I said, you know, I really, you know, it's obviously not over, but I think you've got this in the bag. And she was saying, you know, still as humble as ever, saying, I don't know, it's going to be close. It's going to be close. And I was saying, I think it's 9-2 or 8-3. 9-2 or 8-3 is my guess. And she was like, no, it's going to be 6-5 either way. And so, you know, that is a testament to Billy's character, right? Even when she absolutely knocks it out of the park, she's never going to take a moment to take anything away from anybody else. And I think that is this, you know, it was almost like the yin and yang of the season was Billy and I sitting up there at the final two. We had the person who was loud and aggressive and yelled at people. And then we had the person and got voted out three times, had to win four battle matches. And then we had the person who barely ever had a vote cast for her. I think there were two votes cast for her the whole season and one of them was herself. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and she never got pulled into a battle match, only had her vote exposed like maybe once or twice. And I think that it was a really, really cool showing for the season, a really great thing for Sequester because, you know, it shows, hey, these are both two completely different gameplays. Which one is valued more? And I think you don't get to see that a lot. You don't get to see, you know, two people who played at the highest level of opposite ends of the game. And it was great. It was great. And I just want to say congratulations to Billy again. And thank you to you, Taryn, for the great coverage of the season. I really enjoyed it. I'm looking forward to watching season five. And again, big shout out to Audrey. Big shout out to Sequester. Applications are still open for season five. And big shout out to the sponsor of the season, Warehab. You know, they do great work. It's a very good cause. And so go check them out as well.
Awesome. Well, thank you for joining us here, Spencer.
Thank you for having me, Taryn. I appreciate it. Hopefully this was a little bit more energetic.
We'll have to wait and see what the people say.
I do want to say lastly, on a note from your interview with me preseason, you asked me which Survivor contestant I felt like I would most play like. Do you remember who I said?
I don't remember.
I said Damabate, which is very fitting, a runner up to social legend in Wendell and in Billy. I said I was going to be a bit abrasive to people, but I felt like the strategic mind was kind of there. And you asked me what my approach would be to battle matches. And you know, you remember what I said on that one?
I think that you knew that you might be intimidating.
I said, I don't know, win.
Oh yeah. Well, yeah, there you go.
So it was a self-fulfilling prophecy, right? I became Dominic and I became the battle match champion of the season, but, thanks again and, appreciate it.
Yeah. All right. Well, I will be back with, some more interviews very shortly if you're listening to this or watching this. So be ready. Hello, everyone. We are back with another Sequester interview from season 4. I am here with Natalie. How are you doing, Natalie?
Hi, I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm excited to talk to you. hopefully you're excited to talk to me.
Yes, I find it's very therapeutic, Karen. So yeah, bring it at me and I try to remember everything that happened and, you know, some stuff I like put in the back. Let's not talk about that.
Well, I mean, if you've heard me talk about the season, you know, I was a big fan of your game. I'm still a big fan of your game.
Thank you.
I think, you know, the big thing we have to talk about is the Final Four. And what happened there.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. I had to like stop watching some of the recaps because I would just feel really bad about like, oh my gosh, people supporting me and I know what happened. But I loved your comments because I felt like you always like you would say exactly what I was thinking or like my purpose. I'm like, yeah, that was my thought process. Like I had strategy. Baron gets it.
Well, that's good. That's what I aim for, right?
Yeah, except Final Four. You can't really think about the logical steps of what happened there because a lot was going on in my brain. So
okay, so take me through what happened. Where did it start and how did it get there?
Yeah,
and then what was the process?
So with Final Four, the whole season had been such like a frustrating experience for me. I feel like I was in a very unhealthy like mental state from the start just because of the pressure I put on myself. Like this was such a big deal to me. And I wish I had just kind of gone in and like, you know, with a mini where I'm just here to make some friends and like have some wine and just have some fun. But I was just like, this is like something you've been wanting forever. Let's kill it, you know? And then when I saw the cast and I was like, oh my God, and I was so intimidated and I just shut down. So I was quiet and I think people, they wanted big personality because they are big personality. And I think I just like, it was this constant struggle of me just being like, they're wrong. I'm playing a good game. I know what I'm doing. I'm proud of myself. And then I would kind of go, maybe they're right. Maybe I need to do more. And then like date night happened, kill date night. I was like, this is my jam, one-on-one. And I felt confident and I had my final two speeches. I was like working on them all the time, just kind of rehashing everything to make sure that I could account for like the subtle moves. And final seven, I was still good, but then final six, I started to deteriorate again, like go down that roller coaster of, I felt like final six, I didn't really have to do a whole lot. It was kind of straightforward and Josh was going to play the LOS on me. And I just like, I started to feel like I would blow things out of proportion of like, if people had a comment, and I like, they don't respect me. Josh thinks I'm an easy beat at final two. And it just made me mad. And final five with the questions, it was just brutal. Like I didn't have a lot of respect. And I think I just like let that self doubt and maybe what they were saying and just grew and grew. And getting up to final four, we had like 8 hours before. Mm-hmm. And I just was like practicing my final two speech and practicing the final four because I had to practice for if it was Jacob or if it was Spencer. And I just started to like kind of self-doubt and like talk myself out of my final two speech. So I would be like, you didn't even do much. Like Brendan play didn't even work. You're not good. And I lost complete confidence and I went into final four just not mentally in a good spot. And so it was bad.
Yeah. Well, you came out of the gates, with, you know, Hey Josh, we need to vote Billy. But then after Billy started talking about how she felt about that, you decided to change up. And at this point, like it seemed kind of ill-advised, but it still seemed like you were kind of angling strategically. I think this is ultimately what I would love to know is were you thinking strategically throughout it? Were you trying to make strategic moves or was there other motivation that came in?
Yeah. So with the, like, I needed to speak up first thing was I was so adamant about that because, they didn't have confidence in me at all with the final five questioning. And I just felt like I needed to be the power player there, but it was something I hadn't really prepared for with the final four practice. Like I had thought about final four the whole time because it's the only twist you can actually prepare for. And it wasn't me speaking up first. So that was like a last minute, okay, we need to do it first. Cause I think Billy would respect that because Billy doesn't think you have confidence to deliver a final two speech. So let me show her this confidence that I have. But when she reacted the way she did, I felt like, oh, I misstepped. Like Billy doesn't like threats. Why would I threat? Like, why would I do that? But at the time it made sense. Like I thought she would respect it. And so I was trying to like backpedal, like subconsciously, I was very, very aware that Billy would drag me. I think going in, and I mean, you've talked to Billy, I don't know, but I think going in, she was for sure, like I was the number one to drag. And so I was very aware of that. And I thought I messed up. She's going to drag me. How do I get out of this? And then her emotional plea also got to me. So it was this like, you know what? Well, how about you sit next to, like, try to sit next to Billy final two. And something Muna had said got in my head about like beating the best. And so like as a strategist, like, don't do that. It was like the Wu Tony thing, like yeah. Don't do that. And I was it's so frustrating to like think back, like the last 4 months have just been like torturous agony, like just disappointed. But then also that I'm so happy for Billy and like, I can't regret that because I was thinking about the overall picture of who do I want to win? If I'm going to be dragged, I don't want to be Josh and Spencer in the final two. That really made me mad because I felt I played better than them and I thought I deserved it more, but I didn't. I also thought that no one else thought that. I don't think I gave the jury the respect that like I could have thought better of them maybe, but I wasn't really thinking that way. I was kind of just in that bubble of no one's going to let me win.
Yeah.
So I didn't want Spencer there. I didn't want to lose to Spencer. That made me even more mad. And it was really just like a lot of all these competing thoughts together. So I don't want to say like I switched to Billy thinking like, okay, if I do this, she will not drag me. I think like I was aware of that, but that wasn't like the forefront thought. Which is, unfortunate. You want to hear that too, the first, you know, the main thought, but
well,
sorry.
once we get to the tie and you go to the revote, this is where, I mean, you're basically told, look, if you don't switch your vote, you can't, like, you're definitely losing. There's no way out of it. Did you hear that? Like, were you thinking that? Did you not believe them? Like, what was going through your head there?
So, I would say 75% of me, like I heard him and I believed that he would do it because it's an illogical thing for him not to do it. Like I just destroyed his game for no reason. Like you have the emotional side of like, no, Natalie, like you put me on the wheel. I'm going to drag you. But then 25% of me thought, what if I can talk him out? Like this is a big move to get it to be the final two that I now want. I now want to try to beat Billy in the end. Because if I lose to Billy, but then it also beating Billy would that's a huge thing. So I was aware, like I thought I saw what his drag threats in the game. But I don't know. I feel like part of me wasn't like completely out of it where I thought maybe I can still talk out of it. But I was also really defeated at that point too. So part of me didn't really care. And I'm really stubborn. And the fact that when he said that, I remember just being like, F you. I'm doing it anyway, which is also unfortunate.
Yeah. This is the culmination of, you know, like 5 days, right. Of like very little sleep, constant stress and
isolation.
Know.
Like, I don't think a lot of fans realize that you go sit in your room alone. And if you just like, I finished my book really early but most of the time I just stared at the ceiling constantly thinking about the game, like nonstop, just complete stress. Like that's the most, this game was the most stressful thing I've ever done in my life.
Yeah.
It was a lot. And I did that to myself. But it was hard. And the emotional side of it, like I cared for Billy so much. I had a bond with her versus the other two. So in the moment, it felt right.
How soon after you didn't change your vote did you go, oh crap, maybe I should have done that?
Immediately, I think like we stopped filming or something, like it stopped. Like the round was done after the wheel and the drag. And I just broke out into the ugliest cry you've ever seen in your life. And Billy just grabbed me and hugged me. And she just was like, you did this amazing thing for me, and just like making me feel better. And I just kept going, you deserved it. But I was a mess. And then I was like crying at production, being like, oh my God, everyone's going to think I just gave up. And maybe I did. I've been thinking about this the last 4 months. Like, did I give up? But sorry, I don't know. But now that it's all over, like I'm okay. Like it was hard, especially when I saw how good I was doing. Like I actually did a really good job, and it wasn't all in my head. And then people rooting for me, like that was such a good feeling, but then it made me worse. Cause I was like, oh, shoot.
Yeah. It's definitely like a weird spot to be in, to like, no, don't root for me. You're going to be so disappointed.
Like the first two episodes. And I was like, oh, thank God I didn't win. I was barely shown. And then to see my journey grow, and I'm like, oh, so, I mean, it's nice to have a good story to look back on. And, but, I'm happy it's over. And I can finally like move on. Mm-hmm. And whenever I look at Billy, I'm just like reminded, like, yeah, like she's amazing and she's a great winner. And I'm really happy for her.
Yeah. Do you feel like are there things that you can take away from that experience? Cause it seems like it was like a deeply personal one.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm a really emotional person too. So probably that's also why, but like I've been applying for like Big Brother and Survivor. So I'm a huge fan, like since I was like 8 years old. And so to be able to do something like this, I mean, it was so cool. Like the production side, seeing all of that, like, I still can't believe I was even cast, like that Audrey saw something in me. Like it's like, sometimes I just pinch myself, or like I have this wave washed over me, like, oh my gosh, I did that. But I learned a lot about myself. Like I learned that I have a confidence issue, so need to work on that. But I think the more time passes, I'll be able to see more of like the beauty in it, because mm-hmm. I've just been in the pain for a while. So,
yeah,
which people are like, get over it. But it was, you know, it's a big deal.
Yeah.
I'm probably never going to do again. So it's a big deal.
Yeah. All right. Well, tell me more about date night. Now, this was, one of the questions I have for date night is, you know, Jacob has this idea that he wants to push that him and Muna, that his name is out there with Muna, so that he has this sort of excuse, to use. But nobody but him was really pushing that narrative. Was that intentional?
Oh, yeah. So poor Jacob. I love Jacob. Jacob, I'm so sorry. I went in. Like I wanted to get Muna eventually. Date night was actually earlier than I planned, but I saw when we found the twist, like they're like, get ready. I'm like, okay, it's date night. We're wearing, you know, dressing up. I just felt like it would be so perfect because she wouldn't be able to come back to me and say, and you know, like, are you saying my name? That's what I really struggled with. People kept leaking my plans. And so I just thought date night was perfect. And then seeing Jacob, and I was like, oh my God, here we go. This is happening. And my original plan was just, you know, vote Muna, but like try to get her to think it's Brendan so that she'll battle Brendan. And then Jacob had this elaborate, beautiful plan. Like, it's a great idea. I felt like it was too complicated. And then also I felt like if he succeeded, then everyone would think it was his idea and he'd get all the credit. And like, it's a great idea. Give him like credit. And he initiated it, or it was my idea to be like, can we go after Muna this round? And then he came up, you know, with his elaborate plan. But when I moved on to the next people, it just felt like more authentic for me to not I can't like lie that well, I think. Mm-hmm. And I kind of just wanted to keep it simple so that nothing, like if it's too elaborate, then there's more chances for it not to work.
Yeah. And so, I mean, for what it's worth, like there's no incentive for you to help protect Jacob in that moment. So
that's the thing about this season, is that everyone has is a game bot and everyone has their self-interest. Like, you don't have some random like influencer on there who's just going to follow whatever you do, like follow the plan. Like, I felt like we all would like trash each other's plans because they didn't, you know, they didn't help you go further. So, and then Marcelo didn't do it either. So, I don't even think it would have, like, it would have just blew up in our face, in my face too. Like, I got out, she had no idea. I'm really thankful that like Jacob didn't call me out during the elimination ceremony. I was very terrified for that. But I broke out like crying because it was really, really hard to betray her like that. Mm-hmm. And especially like that round where I felt like it was a fun round for me. I felt like it was working. And so there was like guilt in that as well. But
yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, Jacob.
Well, you also had some trouble early in the game in round two when you got voted out. Which, you know, you got like voted out. They didn't try to vote you out, yeah. But it happened. what was that round like for you?
So that was actually the best thing that ever happened to me. Because before then I was just so uncomfortable and I couldn't really like be myself. Like, I was very quiet and not just kind of like, I don't know, goofy outgoing Natalie. So I didn't make great first impressions. So I was very aware going into the killer round that I was going to be killed. And I was afraid of being the killer because I was thinking, how do you get away with it if people are all assuming that you'd be on there? I had to put myself up, was kind of my thought. I thought it'd be so obvious, like every single person would put me up. I don't know. And so anyway, I like the first 10 minutes was like, just make bonds, make deals. Like, we had some deals of, if you're in the kill list, like, let's make a deal not to vote each other out. But I was like a mess when we came back, and I just, when I got the girls, like Shireen and Billy and Moon, they were like, we're not going to vote you. Then it was a relief. And then I started hearing it from more people and I was like, okay, I'm not going. But I always have like a, you know, the worst case scenario in the back of your head. So it wasn't like I didn't expect it. But I thought, okay, so everyone's telling me Spencer is the target. No one wants to vote Jacob. So I kept thinking there's like two scenarios of everyone votes Spencer and he has an LOS. And then it goes to another person, or, you know, everyone votes Spencer and he goes. So I put my vote on Rachel and I was just overthinking everything. And I just thought he's going to play an LOS possibly. And then there'll be thrown votes on Rachel because she seems the safest. And then also just hoping it would fall on her as second most. Mm-hmm. And my vote would help that. I didn't realize that. I think Katie was trying to orchestrate a tie to try to get out of voting Spencer in tie. So I guess I voted myself out, but I was still thinking strategically. And I'm glad it happened because after I got voted out and won the battle, so you have to win. But I just came in with like back with this confidence of, okay, it wasn't that bad. Like, chill out, Natalie, have some fun. And I definitely was a lot more loose and just comfortable around people after that. So it worked out for me.
Yeah. And you managed to work your way back into the game. What was your like ideal long-term strategy for the game?
I almost forgot to mention, like, I purposely said I was coming after Billy because I wanted everyone to kind of know where my head was at, thinking that more people are afraid of you if they don't know where you're at.
Right.
So I wanted to use that. I never really did. I just, no one wanted to vote out Billy. It just never really presented itself as like an option. But I just, I'm trying to think back, like what my plan was. I knew I needed to make some alliances. I have a really hard time communicating with people that I want to work with them. I kind of think I do it and I don't. And then I have this like imaginary alliance in my head that doesn't actually exist. But I had made during round one, I had made an alliance with Marcelo, Spencer, and Rachel. And we had like voiced this out loud. So this was a real one. And I told Rachel on the side that I really wanted to work with her. So I wanted to keep that going forward. But Spencer was just always in danger. And so I tried to play more fluid of using people when I needed to. So Jacob, like, I voted Jacob a couple times, like, and he did the same to me. I think we were playing similar, like, use someone until you can't. So I wasn't like the best alliance member. Mm-hmm. but just trying to, I really wanted to make things happen. I felt like people thought I was a floater. And so that's why I went after Brendan really hard the next round, because I just wanted people to know I was playing. Mm-hmm. And it didn't work out. But I think people were I got more respect, like Marcel. I didn't realize Marcel didn't respect me until later. And then, I mean, it worked for me. So being loud, it didn't like work out voting Brendan, but people at least knew that I was doing something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, what was it in your head? You know, what happened to Jess in the previous season?
Yes. That's why I kept thinking, so Billy's going to drag Josh because he was so quick with okay. And I was like, he brought her to the final four on purpose for that reason. So, and I just felt like she would be so betrayed by that she would drag Josh. And then there's me and Spencer. So I kept imagining my head of me sitting next to Spencer. And all I saw was Jess and Hunter. And I hate that. I let it get to me where I thought, F this. Like, I'm not losing to Spencer. I played a better game than Spencer. This is not fair. And it frustrates me that I didn't just like, you know, give it a chance, see how I would have done in final two. Mm-hmm. I mean, at least you don't win anything for second place. So in my mind, it was, I kind of just decided I wanted the person to win. If it wasn't me, then I wanted to pick. But that Jess Hunter thing, and everyone kept saying I was like Jess. And I just kept thinking about it.
Man, that jury robbing two games, I guess.
Yeah.
So, let's say that instead of Jacob losing that battle match, Jacob wins. He's in the final four. He says, "Hey, we need to vote Billy." Do you think this plays out differently, and how do you think it plays out?
So the way I was thinking about it in the lead up was I actually was still planning on voicing let's vote Billy first, but I kept thinking she would I'm in the mini final four life, so I'm thinking you retaliate backwards, but I for some reason I kept getting in my head that they would end up voting Jacob, that it would be Jacob as a target, Josh and Billy would vote Jacob, and then I would tie it up with Jacob, and then the revote I would vote Jacob out. But then I think he would drag Josh and I'd be sitting next to Billy.
Mm-hmm.
So every way I thought about it was with Jacob in that just the four of us and that way that was set up. Because I didn't realize that Josh and Billy were as close as they were until five and maybe six, I think, with the Sam was kind of an indicator. But I just felt like Spencer actually coming back, like I wanted Jacob there for support. Like he really was a huge support for me. And like, he obviously talked me up a lot and gave me the confidence that I needed, but I just feel like him in the final four, I don't really know how it would have worked out in my favor of me, like me sitting next to Josh would be the ideal.
Right,
I still think I could beat Jacob in a final two, but
I mean, I think that you probably hope for, you know, Jacob pushes Billy, you and Josh go along with it. Billy is, you know, betrayed enough that she decides to drag Josh or to drag Jacob.
Yeah. I still think Billy would have, getting Billy not to drag me, it would have been really important in the argument and the debate that I had back.
Well,
alternate universe, we'll see.
Anything else that you wanted to talk about?
No, I'm kind of forgetting if I already talked about stuff, but, it was, it was a ride, and I appreciate all the coverage you did. It was fun to listen to, and thanks to everyone who rooted for me. I'm so sorry. But I appreciate it all the same.
Yes. All right. Well, thank you so much for talking with me.
Me too.
All right. That's what we have for you guys. Thank you so much for watching and or listening, and see you all next time.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.